And Jesus said, "Peace be with you." Twice. And he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. Is there anything that we search for or need more than peace? Anything more elusive? Anything that seems here but it then is gone, that we have it and then we don't have it? One moment it's in within our grasp, the next moment it's vapor. And fragile. Is there anything more fragile than peace? It can be destroyed with a single word, with a suggestion of a single word, and it's gone, leaving us no recourse, no fallback at all. We're looking for peace in our lives. We're looking for the peace that puts an end to war, like the ones that are going on in North Africa and the Middle East right now, where everything seems to be torn apart. We don't know where it's going to end up. We're looking for a peace that's the end of the turmoil in ourselves and in our world and between our political parties and between races and sexes and ages and everything else. We don't know how that's going to ever come out. We're looking for the peace of having accomplished something, of knowing that we did a good job, and that we can turn it loose now, that we have done what we could and it was good. There's a peace in that. We're looking for the peace of calmness, maybe the eye of the hurricane in a world that is torn up by hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes and fires and floods and what all else, who knows. We're looking for some sense of calm in the midst of all of that. And there is a peace. We seek that peace that Christ brings to the disciples this day. We're looking for it, we want it, we want to taste it, want to feel it, want to experience that peace. To have a moment of refreshment in a world of anguish and terror. And to be able to control ourselves. And then finally, after being refreshed, to be able to get back out into the world and do our thing. But there is no peace in a world that is centered on war. Big ones and little ones, there's one after another. Terrorism, the weapon of the disenfranchised and the stateless. And there's always somebody who is there to die for God or country or oil or water or food or maybe just the glory of it all. There is no peace when life is centered on fear. We all have fears, little phobias, little irrational fears that we may not know where they come from or why we have them, but they're there. Maybe claustrophobia or agoraphobia, fear of closed-in spaces, fear of wide-open spaces. I was listening to NPR yesterday on the way home from getting my hair cut. Boy, they did it. They did a job this time, didn't they? Yeah. I was listening to NPR, and the lady was talking about bugs. And lapidophobia, I think that's how she pronounced it, is the fear of butterflies. Can you imagine being afraid of butterflies? The top 10 list for worst fears in America, speaking before a group. Can I get an amen on that? All right. Heights, insects and bugs. Financial problems, yes. Deep water. Dun, 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 dun. I didn't go in the ocean for a couple of years after that movie came out. Sickness, death. Notice how far down the list death is. Flying, loneliness, and dogs. One of the things that didn't make the list that a lot of people are afraid of, you may be surprised, clowns. Scare people to death. Iris Flutterby was all dressed up, and we went into Hardee's, and you go in the door and you turn around the wall, and there's the counter, and one of the young ladies behind the cash register saw Iris and flipped out, just freaked, screamed, started to cry, and ran for the back of the building. She did not want to even see a clown. She was so afraid of them. We have these phobias, these fears, these irrational, but they're still there. Whether we like them or not, we have to live with them. And they ruin ourselves, our lives. They can. You can't go out. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't be with these people. You're afraid of knives. You're afraid of bugs. You can't go camping. You can't be with the children. You're afraid of germs. It destroys our lives and keeps us from finding peace in our souls. There is no peace in our soul tortured by the separation between us and God. We cut ourselves off from God. We distance ourselves. We build walls to keep between us and God. And that separation is caused by our sin, by our guilt, by our shame, and by our pride. But it leaves such a gap in our lives that there is no peace until we fill it. There is no peace in our world. But peace is available. It's the peace of Jesus Christ, the peace that Christ gave to the disciples that enabled them to leave that upper room. They were hiding there from the Jews, it says, John says, because they were afraid. They're afraid that they were going to be the next victims on the cross. They were afraid that they would be arrested. But Jesus' word of peace allowed them to step out of that upper room, allowed them to believe what was impossible to believe, allowed them to stand before the hometown crowd, people that were committed to Yahweh in a certain way to worship Him, and proclaim a message so radical and so new that 3,000 people were compelled to believe that day. That's a peace that surpasses all understanding. It's a peace that enables us to deal with our fears. Not conquer them. We'll never destroy our fears. We'll never get away from them. But we can face them with confidence and strength. It's a peace that enables us to get our priorities in order. The country of Monaco is a neutral country. They don't want to be involved in any wars. They're not going to take anybody's side. They believe in peace, and they put it first. In fact, it's so much a priority that they have, and they demonstrate that priority by having 85 people in the National Orchestra and 82 people in the military. They know what's important. We need to realign our priorities, to choose life instead of death, to choose people instead of things, to choose meaning instead of just barely existing. We need to find the peace that enables us to reduce the power of the threat of the unknown. There is a darkness out there. It's called the future. We don't know what's in it. We don't know where it's going or what it can take us to. There is a threat. There is a power. And we're frightened by that because we don't know. Did you know that some hospitals will use intrauterine sounds in the nursery to help a newborn adjust to the realities, the cold realities of life? It's the sound of the mother's heartbeat and the rushing of the blood and the movement of the mother, all wrapped up in a nice warm womb, that gives that child a sense of comfort. And you bundle them up and you let them hear these noises. And the noises they heard before they could hear, before they knew that they were hearing it all, that just the very atmosphere in which they lived reminds them of the comfort and the closeness that they had with their mother. Well, in the same way, before we knew we could hear, Jesus was whispering words of love and grace to us. Before we were, God's love abounded within us, and we could hear the voice of Christ, someone who cared and somebody who was there to lead us into that dark future, into the unknown. We may not know what's there, but we know that Jesus is. And His hand will take us there. This is peace that will be empowered by faith. You see, we are resurrection people. We are the people of the resurrection because we believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And informed by that fact, we believe that death is not the answer, that there is an alternative to dying. And that's the good news, that in Jesus Christ we are alive and that we have the promise of eternal life. Because of our faith, we are justified. We are found not guilty, that we have been set free by God's love for each and every one of us. Or as Paul says in the book of Romans, we have peace in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that resurrection faith, we can find answers to the search for meaning in our lives. A lot of times we don't know what it's all about, why we're here, what's the purpose of living. Are we here to be alive for a while and then die and no more? But when we are obedient to God's call to reach out to other people, to care about the least and the last and the lost in our world, to put others first, to be last instead of first in the world around us, when we share ourselves, then we discover the meaning and purpose of life. For it is in giving to others that we discover who we are and what God has for each and every one of us. Or as Carl Tucker from the Saturday Review says, peace comes with feeling needed. To be needed, one must give another something uniquely one's own, be it love, advice, support, wisdom, solace, entertainment, education, leadership, or care. It is in giving of ourselves to others, putting them first, that we discover the meaning of life. There is peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding, the peace that Jesus gave to his disciples in that upper room, the peace of Christ, which is different from the peace of this world. And there is a peace because we are a resurrection people. We have seen the risen Lord, and that peace is available to anyone who would begin to live as if they are the resurrection people in a post-Easter world. Peace be with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give. Let not your heart be troubled. Never let them be afraid. Amen.